Good evening. We continue our reading tonight in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he, Jesus, was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all the region. This is the word of God.
At the end of Songs of Praise tonight, they said that next week they were going to talk to a lady vicar who'd become a stand-up comic in order to get attention from her congregation. Sorry, folks. No jokes tonight. We're going to be looking at this passage where Jesus meets three people. And I've called them desperate father pleading, dead girl sleeping, and dead woman walking. So let's start off with the desperate father who is pleading. Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum. It's a high position. He's probably reasonably wealthy, a devout Jew, elected by the elders of his congregation. He was a public and well-recognized figure. His work was to look after the synagogue building, its contents, and the arrangements for worship. In fact, he was the New Testament version of Andy Bowdler and Richard Jackson rolled into one. Perhaps that was the joke. There we are. Not Andy Bowdler and Richard Jackson. They're not the joke. He wasn't in charge of the synagogue in a way that he went out and preached or did anything like that, but he organized things that were necessary for the service. He made sure that everything was running smoothly. He had one daughter, an only child of 12 years old. We don't read all these things in this one passage. If you read the other places where this is mentioned, you read these other things. One daughter, an only child of 12 years of age, who was on the verge of womanhood. And in one of the chapters, it says that she's dying. We read here that she's dead. She's near to death. Just dead. And this man who is wealthy, important, religious, can do absolutely nothing for her. And so in his desperation, he goes to Jesus. He believes that Jesus can help him, even in the most dire of situations. And he is prepared to fall at the feet of the man that most of his associates would have looked down upon or even hated. In public, he falls at his feet and says, "Lord, come and do something to help me." Then there's an interruption along the way. But they arrive at the home of Jairus. And the people are outside crying and weeping and wailing. They've brought in the professional mourners who are shouting and playing the flutes and making a cacophony of noise as they mourn. And here we meet dead girl sleeping. The crowds tell Jairus that Jesus is too late. Don't bother him anymore. There's no point in him coming. Jesus calms the crowd down. And he tells them, she isn't dead. She's sleeping. They laugh at this. But he turns them out of the house because he doesn't want the miracle to be broadcast. Jesus doesn't want people to follow him just because of what he does, but because of who he is. And he goes into the house and he takes this young girl by her hand, raises her from death, and then gives a very common sense command, get her something to eat. She needs to build her strength up. I don't know how long she'd been ill, how long she'd been dead, but she needed some food. This event in the life of Jesus is interrupted by the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. During the days of capital punishment in Britain, the average length of time spent in the condemned cell was 3 weeks. The prisoner was constantly watched, never left alone, but was never allowed again to experience physical touch. Even when visited by family and friends, they were separated by glass. If you see the films where they're all hugging each other, that ain't right. They were separated. They would never touch each other again. On Texas death row, the average time spent on death row used to be 12 years. Now it's quite a lot longer. The prisoner there is kept for 22 hours a day in solitary. And no physical contact is ever allowed. Even food is pushed through a hatch in the cell door. The prisoners are often known as dead man walking. Their life is effectively over. Nobody cares. Nobody touches. Nobody loves. The woman in this story is effectively dead woman walking. Jewish law stated that a woman was unclean during the time of her monthly period or prolonged or abnormal bleeding. And she would be unclean until 7 days after that bleeding stopped. We find these rules amazing, don't we? But if we were members of some other religions, some other cultures, even some Orthodox Christian churches, the rules wouldn't be much different. So girls, be grateful we live where we are and go to the church we go to. So this lady, 12 years. And the rules had been tightened. And so this woman was socially isolated. Spiritually isolated. Physically isolated. Nobody would come close to her just in case she touched them. She wasn't allowed into the synagogue. She wasn't allowed to partake in public worship of God. 12 years, she would have suffered from anemia and ill health. She would have suffered from tiredness, depression, humiliation, poverty. In one of the other Gospels, we read that she'd spent all her money on doctors. And instead of being better, she was worse. Maybe as a result of this, she was childless. We don't know. Maybe her husband, who was no longer allowed to even go near her or touch her, had got fed up with this situation and divorced her. We don't know. There was household disruption. She couldn't touch anything in the house that could be touched by someone else. How did she live her life? Dead woman walking, sitting at home, all alone, waiting for things to change. She was an outcast, shut off from the fellowship with people and public worship of God. She is so desperate that she breaks all the rules. to get through the crowd and touch one of the four tassels that are on the edge of Jesus' garment. Jesus doesn't berate her or run away, but he calls her daughter and heals her. What can we learn from these three people? Jesus comes to help all kinds of people. Jairus is wealthy, religious, respected, upstanding, the sort of person you'd like to have as your next door neighbor. His daughter, well, he loved her. Other people might have thought that she would be a disappointment to him, being only a girl, in a country where some people prayed, "I thank you, Lord, that I was not born a Gentile or a woman." Had he been disappointed that the only child he had was a girl? I don't know. But to some people, she would have been a failure and unimportant. The woman was poor, anonymous, an outcast, not wanted by anybody. We need to remember that everyone needs Jesus and that no one is outside his love, his care, or his power. We need to care and reach out for all people, the unwanted, the untouchable, even the rich, respected, and those who look as if they have it all need our Lord Jesus to help and to touch them. There is no one too rich or too powerful to need Jesus. There is no one too poor, no one too bad to be outside his love and his care. Maybe you can think of someone or a kind of person that you would think, they don't need God, they've got everything. No, they haven't. If they haven't got God, they haven't got the most important thing in the world. And when the storms of life come and the trials come, they will need him. And so if we know people, we think, they don't need him. Yes, they do. Maybe there are some people we think, God couldn't possibly reach out to them. They're too wicked. They're too evil. They're too bad. They're untouchable. Jesus wouldn't help them. Yes, he would. And he wants us to do the same. He wants us to care for and reach out to all people, whoever they are. Jairus, the wealthy, desperate, unable to help himself. The daughter, we don't really learn much about the daughter, do we, apart from the fact that she's dead. What did she hope and dream for? Was she looking forward to turning 13 and becoming a woman? Maybe Jairus was thinking of arranging a marriage for her. Maybe she'd fallen in love with one of the young village boys. I don't know. But she had dreams and hopes that had been dashed. Jairus had dreams and hopes that had been dashed. This woman, what had she expected from her life? A happy marriage, plenty of children, someone to love her, work to do, a relationship with God. And for all three of them, it had gone wrong. And the only one who could help them was Jesus. And so Jairus comes to Jesus and pleads for his daughter's life. The daughter doesn't do anything. She doesn't have faith. She's just there and she's raised to the life. And the woman, she comes to Jesus in desperation and he heals her. Maybe you think that you are the unimportant one. You are the untouchable one. Jesus can't help me. My problems are too big. My sin is too deep. That's not true. Nobody is unlovable, untouchable, unhelpable with Jesus. And then prayer is important. Are we in trouble? Are we sad? Are we worried? Are we lonely? Are we fed up? Are we ill? When we are in trouble, let our trials give us new life to urgency in prayer. All these people were desperate. You notice, Jairus didn't come along and say, "Excuse me, I hope you don't mind me asking, but will you please help me?" The woman didn't say anything at all. But in desperation, she lunges under the feet of the crowd and grabs hold of this blue tassel. When we have problems, when we've come to the end of ourselves, when we know we cannot do anything to change the situation, how urgent is our prayer? Our prayers and our troubles bring us to the feet of Jesus. You notice that's where all these people ended up. Jairus throws himself on the floor in front of Jesus. The woman is on the ground. Now we may not be able to physically do that, but are we kneeling at the feet of Jesus in our hearts and saying, "God, I need you. I need you more than anything." We may be saying, "I need you to forgive my sin. I need you to change my life. I need you to heal me. I need you to do a miracle in my family." Whatever it might be, are we desperate enough to come to the feet of Jesus and plead with him to answer our prayers? And you know, sometimes Jesus answers straight away. In this case, there was a delay. Someone else came along and they got healed first. Did Jairus stamp his foot and say, go out of the way? Jesus is coming to my house to deal with my problem. My daughter's dying. If he doesn't come soon, it'll be too late. Sometimes we have to wait. And he keeps us near his feet as we trust in him to answer our plea for help. And so we meet these three characters. Desperate father pleading. Can't do anything to help, but Jesus can. Dead girl sleeping. All her dreams ended, but Jesus can bring her back to life. Dead woman walking. Nothing to look forward to apart from another 12 years of sitting, waiting, doctor's visits, more money gone, more people say, "You know who she is, don't you? Don't go near her. Haven't been to church for years and we all know why, don't we?" Nothing to look forward to. And so tonight, maybe our need is that we need to be forgiven. We need to come to Jesus and say, "I can't get to heaven on my own. I can't live this life on my own. It's impossible. Please forgive my sin. Please come and be my Savior and my Lord and take me home to heaven one day." Maybe we have trouble. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Whether it's illness or worries, financial problems, health, whatever it is, we can come to our Lord Jesus and ask him to help us. Let's remember this evening, Jesus cares for all, and so should we. Jesus hears and answers our prayers. He is more willing to answer our prayers than sometimes we are to ask. And as we go into this week, we will meet people just like these three. Desperate people. People that don't look as if they need help, but they do. People for whom it's obvious that they need help, and perhaps they won't admit it. But let's pray that God will give us the grace to reach out, as Jesus reached out to these three, that they might know him too, his love, his care, his forgiveness, and his healing. Because everyone needs the Lord. People need the Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Shall we say the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.